Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
These folks who just walked up on the stage, this is the Doman family, and they are our most recent addition to our missionary support. And they serve Jesus in the faraway land of California, which is pretty far away. Yeah, we're pretty far gone, it seems sometimes. But this is Jim and Amanda, and this is Aliyah. Hi, Aliyah. And this is her little brother, Riker. And the Domans have been used by God about a year ago in October to launch a new ministry that's called Church United. And Riker will be one of the strongest voices for Church United in years to come. But I got to know Jim when his ministry sponsored me to go back to Washington, D.C. this last May. Anybody remember that I went and I came back and had some stories to tell? Well, it was a powerful, powerful, about a half a week that I spent back there with 157 pastors from all over California. And Jim and Amanda have this passion to see pastors united to make a difference in our culture. When they're not backing off and just saying, oh, it's gotten so bad, let's just huddle together and hope it doesn't get any worse. They're invading this culture, taking a charge by God to hit this nation. And so the ministry of Church United, you're going to hear more about it, but I asked Jim last night, I said, so in a nutshell, what is Church United about? And he says, it's about disrupting people like you, Pastor Bill. It's about disrupting pastors. And he'll explain that even more. But this pastor has been disrupted in the greatest of way, and he'll share with you more about that, and I'll come back and pray for them in a little bit. But we have a few things in common. We both have lived in the Palm Springs area at different times. We both love Jesus. Anybody else here that loves Jesus? I thought there might be one or two. But also, and this is great, we both have connection with the Friends Church. Well, right after I got saved, I got involved with the Friends. Anybody else, anybody here know the other name for the Friends Church? The Quakers, yeah. I was explaining to one of our staff guys about the Friends Church, also known as the Quaker Church. He said, oh, Quakers. He said, do the Quakers still quake? And I said, well, I know one Quaker that still quakes, and this is him, Jim Doman, and he quakes, and he wants to be used by God to start some quakes, to move some things and see God do some great things in our nation, in our country. So, Jim, thanks, and let's welcome them again, and thank you for taking the day to be here.
Bless. Absolutely. Hey, do you want to come over here? Do you want to sit down or stand up? You want to stand right there? Okay. Kay. Can you tell everybody your name?
My name is Aliyah.
And how old are you, Aliyah?
I'm 3.
Okay. And Aliyah is going to share her Bible verse with you this morning.
Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be my name. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This day, our daily bread, give us our trespasses, as we forgive our trespasses against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of God. Amen.
So that's a tough act to follow, let me say. I don't get those kind of cheers when I talk. So anyway, I'm glad I get to hear them for my children. Thank you. Well, it's a honor and privilege to be here today. And Church United, like Pastor Bill was saying, I just started it. It'll be a year this October. And it's a lot. I'll say not just about family, but affects the family. And I'm really proud of my family. My wife Amanda, daughter and son, and what's why I like to bring them up here and just to kind of see, I'll just say, God's tangible restoration on earth is, well, actually, before I get into this, do you guys want to hear how Amanda and I met?
Yeah.
You want to hear that story? I think stories are really fun to tell and to kind of, you know, kind of connect a little bit. So I went to seminary, went to Zeus Pacific University Seminary, and got a Master of Divinity, and I finished in 2006. but I didn't finish my paper till like 2008. And they it took me a little while to write it. And they mailed my diploma to the wrong address. And it got returned to the school. You know, my bill never got sent to the wrong address, but my diploma did. I'm not sure how that happened. It was divine intervention for sure. But they called me and said, we have your diploma. And what would you like us to do with it? I said, well, I worked really hard. It took me 4 years. It worked, but you know, I'm going to drive up at my lunch break and pick it up. So I did that. And when I walked into the office, now, talk about divine appointments. Amanda was managing the entire graduate client services. So if you're a grad student at that university, you'd go through her office. Her office is not even in the front. Her office is in the back, in another room. But she just happened to be behind the desk when I walked in the door. Walked in and she said, can I help you? Showed her my ID, told her what I needed. She gave me the diploma and she goes, why don't you take it out and read it? It looks like it means it's something really important to you. So I opened it up, started reading it, read my name, you know, in the year of our Lord, you know, and I said, this is a miracle. I came out of the homosexual lifestyle. I just bought my first home. I'm a pastor, and now my master of divinity. And she said, without skipping a beat, it sounds like God has restored the years the locust have eaten. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Who's this chick behind the counter quoting Joel chapter 2, a minor prophet in the Old Testament? Christians don't know their Bibles that well. And I'm like, she's quoting my spiritual language back to me. So we start talking a little bit more. And as we're talking, I just see Jesus in her eyes. I'm like, I got to get this girl's phone number. And I did. Obviously, you can tell. But I got her number, and it was kind of a little, I didn't feel real comfortable because how I got her number, I said, well, you know, our church, we're doing an Easter performance, or I'm sorry, Christmas performance, and we're hiring an orchestra. And how I found out she was a semi-professional musician, when we were cheering, she said she had friends in the LGBT lifestyle. I'm like, how do you work at a Christian university, know scripture like this, and then you're quoting, you've got friends in the gay lifestyle. She goes, well, in the industry, you know, she performs as a lot of LGBT individuals. And I kind of thought, well, you know, if you're in Hollywood, if you're Jewish and gay, you know, Hollywood's run by Jewish and gay, and if you're both, you're really rich. But I said, okay. But as we were kind of conversing back and forth, I told her, don't ever stop praying for your friends and the lifestyle. I said, my family, they prayed and interceded for years on my behalf. And thank God I was only in the lifestyle for 5 years, but God answered their prayers, and you can change. God can change someone's heart, anyone's heart for that matter, whatever your sin issue is. You know, and I'm also not here as I share about Church United and how God is using me. I'm not here to say I've arrived, I've got it down. I'm still a sinner. I still get tempted. What about you all? Are you still tempted? And what do you do when you're tempted? You know, do you run to your sin of choice? Or do you say, no, I'm going to submit to how God has told us to live by his word? And what does that look like? And how do we walk and live in righteousness? How do we walk and live in grace and truth? And I didn't tell them I was going to do this, but my parents are here visiting from Texas. They just happened to be out over this weekend. But Mom, Dad, would you stand up real quick? It's my parents, John and Karen Doman. Mom, Dad, they like Eli and Riker better, just so you know. But it's good having you guys here in town this week. And as I get to share a little bit what Lord's doing with Church United. So kind of my story, you know, you just don't go from homosexual to heterosexual, married and having kids. It was a long restorative process. And I spent a lot of work in counseling and Christian therapy and a variety of different things. And I came to Christ at the age of 7 at church and grew up in the church. But when junior high hit in 7th grade, I started, you know, having these unwanted same-sex attraction. And I started reading God's word and praying, and it wasn't changing. So, you know, what do you do if you're a believer? You know what's wrong? I, at least at the time, culture, you know, didn't really approve of it. But what do you do when those desires and those things don't change? Fast forward a little bit, I decided to say, to heck with it all, I'm going to want to love and be loved, and I went into the lifestyle. And I was so desperate to love and be loved, I didn't care my partner of 3 years was HIV positive and hepatitis C positive. I didn't care. That's how desperate I was, and or lonely. And what God, through God's, I'll say grace and mercy, he spared me from those and protected me. I remember we got in a fight one night, and I was in our dining room, and the Lord spoke very clearly. He said, someday you're going to be telling your story. See, when you're God's, you can't run away from God. I've traveled over 40 countries. I've been all over the world. I used to be like the story of Jonah. If the plane had really bad turbulence, if you threw me out, everybody would survive, because I knew what I was doing was in disobedience to God's word. But again, like I said, I didn't care. I was going to do it anyway. And yet, through God's grace and mercy, June 8th, 2002, I came back to Christ, came back to the Lord. And I ended up in Palm Springs. You think it's hot today? It's hotter in Palm Springs, you know? I literally only had the clothes on my back because my partner had switched bank accounts and everything, and all I had was debt on credit cards. It's amazing how quick you can have a lot of money, a home, means, and whatever, and lose all that overnight, literally, and throw in a restraining order on top of that. So I had no access to anything, but so I was that broken. And I laid in an apartment floor with no furniture, no AC, on a tile floor. I looked up the wood ceiling. I said, God, I'm yours again. I didn't even realize what I was praying. The next morning, I got up. I'm like, well, I still have my gym membership. I'll go work out at the gym. And I didn't know where I was going to eat. I didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. And I was walking on a public street in North Palm Springs on Tamarisk in 111. If you know the area, $5 is laying on the sidewalk. $5. And where do you go if you have $5? Denny's, Grand Slam Breakfast, $2.99, you know? But the Lord, when I picked up that $5, he said, I took care of the Israelites in the desert, and I'll take care of you and yours. And he just started doing little miracle after miracle. And, you know, as I shared, I went through counseling, did some things, and sought some mentorship, really sought healthy heterosexual men to pour into my life. What does healthy masculinity look like? Because that's what same-sex strugglers need. Role models, what masculinity looks like. One of my mentors who was funny, too, at the time, I told my story to a bunch of pastors because I was really freaked out with the church, how they would respond. And no pastoral person continued to reach out to me, but a bivocational attorney / pastor said, Jim, let's go grab coffee. Let's grab lunch. He kept spending time with me. He goes, I think you should go to seminary. I said, I wanted nothing to do with the church. I wanted to be Jesus with skin on to a lost and dying world. And from my viewpoint, that wasn't the church. But he said, what if you could go and better equip the church how to respond to some of these cultural issues and specifically the LGBT issues and help grow your influence through the church? I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I'll go to seminary. Well, you know what happened there? Very good. Now I've got a beautiful family. So that's kind of a little bit of my story. There's a prayer magnet in the back, and we actually ran out. The printer was supposed to have more, and we ran out, so we don't have them. But on the way out, if you do fill out a card, you could write magnet, and we'll mail one to you. And we'd love to have you as a prayer reminder to pray not only for our family, but at jimdoman.com, my name, I've got some resources, too. If you are struggling with same-sex issues or a loved one, you can go there and there's some great biblical worldview help you can get for your friend, for yourself, or a loved one. So Church United, why Church United? God's wired me for his kingdom and government. And guess what? Church and government don't play well together. Have you guys experienced that? And in our culture, we've bought the lie, I truly believe it's from the pit of hell, separation between church and state. Pastor Jim, you can't talk about politics. You can't talk about the issues of the day. You can't talk about that from your pulpit or from other pulpits around California and churches. It's political. The Bible's not that. I've been told that. I've also been told you cannot pray in Jesus' name. You're in a government building. You're this. You cannot pray in that name. Guess what? I do. And I will continue to pray in the name of Jesus. Now, I share this because this isn't out of anger, this isn't out of animosity or anything like this, but it's a stand for truth and boldly do so. Who else did that stuff? Ever hear of the Apostle Paul? The dude that wrote half the New Testament? Don't ever preach in that name again. You can't talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and repent from your sins. He was told that. Read the stories. And sometimes he'd share the gospel, not everyone became believers. And I just kind of share that story with you. One of my giftings is evangelism. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to lead people to Christ. If Christ can transform my life, and I know he's transformed many of the lives here, can't he transform others who don't know him? Can't he transform your city, Huntington Beach? Can he transform our county, Orange County? Can he transform California and transform our nation? So the scripture I'm going to read today is 1 Timothy 2. If you have your Bibles, if you'd turn there to 1 Timothy 2, starting in verse 1. First Timothy 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge you that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself up as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. And I read from the New American Standard Bible. But you get what's being said there, what Paul's writing for kings and all those in authority? We're to pray for them. We're to intercede on their behalf. And I'll confess, I didn't know the names of my city officials in my city. Didn't even know the county board of supervisors, let alone assembly, state senator. Okay, maybe I will say this. I've always known who the president is and the vice president. But beyond that, that's about it. And as I kind of experienced this, I was like, pastors didn't know that. So how did I even come to this realization? So as I shared, God has wired me for his kingdom and government, but the two don't play well together. I'm going to give you an example of that. This. I started going to D.C. in 2011 to an organization called Watchmen on the Wall. It was a pastor's conference, national organization, Tony Perkins, great organization. Went in 2011, 2012, the great, you got to see God moving in our nation's capital. I took my wife in 2013 so she could experience it. And how I was just blown away. It was one of the best conferences I'd ever been to. But during that time, I was trying to get pastors to go with me from California. I was on pastoral staff. Oh, no, I was no longer on pastoral staff at the time. I couldn't get one California pastor to go to Washington, D.C., not one. So in 2014, I said, Dave, let's scholarship six pastors. Let's take $6,000 out of savings, and we'll scholarship six pastors. And we did. And after those six pastors went and came back, we did a little video. Guess how many went in 2015? 27. 27 California pastors. We don't have the resources to bring that many, to pay for that many. It's about $2,000 a pastor to go. So I was able to find some key people that said, yeah, we believe in what you're doing. We'll help you out. We'll help sponsor some. But I also was strategic. God was strategic and said, Jim, bring some regional guys of influence across the state of California. And I did. And these regional guys went. And then the next year, 70 pastors from California went to Washington, D.C. 70. And it was then I saw something about the church, when we unite, when the church comes together, that there's a power behind that. You can write down John 17. You can go back and read the chapter. I don't have time to unpack all that. But when Jesus is praying for his disciples and prayed that we would be one as I and the Father, as Jesus is saying, I and the Father are one, I believe there's a mystery and a power there. When the church takes a stand, we can do great things for his kingdom. We can stop bad legislation. We can stop bad things. We can stand up against injustice and do what's right, do what's biblical. So that trip of 70 pastors, we're worshiping inside the United States Capitol in an event called the Jefferson Gathering. Anyone ever worship inside the United States Capitol? Think about that. Is that in the fake news? Is that even in Fox News? You'll never hear that story in Fox or any other news network. Because what is happening, how the Spirit is moving, doesn't make it to mainstream media. But when we were in that gathering worshiping, members of Congress were coming out and sharing how they came to Christ and quoting scripture without using their Bible, iPad, you know, tablet, phone, nothing. They're just out there raw sharing how God has called them to this place of authority. And the pastors are blown away. You know what the message they heard from all the, and there's no, what the message the pastors heard? We can't change America. You're going to change America. The pulpits, the church is how we will change America. The church is how we'll change California. So I stand up kind of boldly because somebody was talking about a pro-life issue. And I said, in my city, I need help. I don't know what to do. They're selling aborted babies and their parts. Okay? Yorba Linda, North Orange County, folks. This is our county. This is what we're doing. And the not so rich areas, they just kill people on the streets. In the richer areas, it's behind, you know, closed doors. Selling aborted babies and their parts, and I don't know what to do. No one said anything. Next thing I knew, we continued to worship. Different members were talking during the worship service. And then Pastor Dan, who leads it, pulled me aside and said, Jim, can you pick out three pastors and come pray in the center of the rotunda? You know where the rotunda is, the big dome of the Capitol? Can you come and lay hands on some members of Congress, their U.S. House of Representatives? I said, absolutely. What's up? President Obama signed an executive order guaranteeing some LGBT rights, and there's a bill that's going to codify it into law. We want to pray against that. Like, absolutely. So I'm like, okay, Lord, who do I choose? Do I do a black, brown, white, you know, kind of older millennial, try to represent the different demographics of California as quickly as I could? And the pastors, I asked them, yeah, we're willing to pray. So they all go into the center of the rotunda. And as I'm in the center of the rotunda laying hands on these members of Congress, the Lord says, this is your issue. You need to pray as well. So I did. Next day, the bill failed on the floor of the House of Representatives. Yes. 2016 HR 2, the water bill, failed. And the kind of the cool thing was, the reason it failed on the floor, it outs, and when you're in committee, you don't know how people vote. On the floor, you get to reveal who voted, and there's a handful of Republicans that voted in favor for this here in Orange County. And I reached out to them personally, and their staffs, and others did as well, that how dare you support such stuff. And so I started seeing as a church comes together, we can do this. But yet, Paul's instructing us to pray for those in authority. How do you do if you don't even know their name? Oh, you're getting political again. Church doesn't have anything to do with politics or in policy or public policy or in government. And so I want to ask, what Bible are you reading? Really? Church, what have we been doing? Ever hear the story of Esther? And she was a woman, praise God, who was obedient and interceded, and she saved the Israelites. She went right to the king. Even though she could have lost her life, because women didn't approach people in authority like that. Think about that. Ever hear the story of Joseph? There's a righteous dude. Scripture doesn't show he did anything wrong. Well, maybe, you know, I wouldn't tell my siblings that you're going to bow down to me one day. I don't think that's really wise. You know, it created some problems for him, as if you know the story. If you don't, you can read about it in Genesis. But Joseph became the second most powerful man in the known world at the time, and the most powerful nation with the most powerful pharaoh, most powerful individual. And guess what? Look at the thousands, if not millions, of lives he saved. Because he walked with God, he was obedient, and he had the ear of the pharaoh. Okay, I could start unpacking. Find a book in the Bible that doesn't talk about God's people interacting with government. Ever hear of Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Nehemiah, Jonah. There's a great story of Nineveh. And the prophet came, and the revival came from the people and went up to the king. Think of that story. Oh, but that's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? John the Baptist called out King Herod on a moral issue, on adultery. The woman you're sleeping with is not your wife. It wasn't an LGBT issue. It was a heterosexual adulterous issue. But he was not afraid of man or governments, but preached from the word of God and called them out on a morality issue. And it cost him his head, literally. Ever hear of the Apostle Paul? Oh yeah, pray for those in authority, kings and all those. Who do you think he spoke with? The highest levels of government. And when he got thrown in court, he was Jewish. He was a Roman citizen. I mean, he had all the pedigrees and credentials to talk to the highest leaders and the academics. Acts 17, the Stoics, Epicureans, the philosophers. He even used their own rhetoric against them. There's another great chapter. In 17, there's another great chapter you can read about how Paul engaged with the culture. So church, how do we get this idea? I think we bought this lie. And growing up in the church and going to seminary and going to Christian schools and Christian colleges, we don't talk about any of this stuff. How do we get there? And yet what I'm seeing, when the church unites, we win. We advance God's kingdom for his glory and his purposes. So I took 24 pastors of regional influence in Sacramento this past February. And like I confess to you, almost all of them said, we don't know any of them. One of them said, can you get me their names and get me connected so I can talk to my member of Congress, which is at the federal level, state senator and state assembly person, and I'll have my secretary set up appointments so I can begin in relationship with them. And let me just share this with you all. I like to practice what I preach. I led my assembly member to Christ in October. Okay, we just had an election this past 2016. He tried running for office back in 2012, and guess what? I began a relationship with him back then and developing that. And I like to bring in North Orange County. I have a pastor's meeting, gathering, where I bring pastors together so they can meet our city officials, meet our sheriff, meet people in places of authority, not just to meet, but to build the relationship, lay hands on and pray over, believer or not. So I did this with this assemblyman. And as he was standing there talking to the pastors, he kept talking about faith this and faith that and spirituality. I'm like, bro, you're with a bunch of pastors. You can mention Jesus. And then it clicked. Oh, you may not know Jesus. And he shared with them, Jim's going to be my spiritual mentor. And so we went to our first lunch. I said, yeah, let's follow up on this. And I asked him, do you know Christ? Have you ever done this? No. Grew up in the church, Catholic and evangelical churches, and never made a commitment to Christ. I led him to the Lord, and tears came down his cheek. And guess what happened after that? He wanted to introduce me to his chief of staff. But I told him, I'll have nothing to do with it. The church doesn't get involved in government. We don't have anything to do with this. Of course not. I said, absolutely. So I met with his chief of staff and the key people in his office, and he said, we're here to serve you, Jim. Pastor Jim, we're here to serve you and the community. What can we do? We want to have our resources utilized for you and the community. Whoa. Remember that whole thing talking about praying in the name of Jesus? You know what else he did? They reached out to me and said, we're going to have a town hall meeting. Will you come open the meeting in prayer in a public setting? Absolutely. And guess what name I prayed in? The only name there is, in the name of Jesus. But I was able to pray for my assemblyman, his staff, and the people there, and the other city officials, because he's higher up on the totem pole. We had other city, and I'm in a relationship, and I know them, and I'm able to pray for them and intercede. What an amazing thing if this group of pastors and pastors across the state, I believe we could transform California overnight. if we led our members of the California legislature to Christ. But how do you do that if you don't even know their name? So that's what we did. We're getting to know, getting to building relationships with your elected officials. This is in Sacramento, but I want to talk to you about what happened in D.C. with the 157 California pastors that went this past May. And your pastor, Bill, was a part of that.
I tell you, we serve a God who is not a God of second. He's not a God. And I say this because I get choked up. He is a God of second chances, but he is not a God of second best. He wants our first fruits, guys. I mean, when he calls us to be invested, he wants us to invest wholeheartedly. And so as we have enjoyed that second chance, and some of us, it's a third or fourth or fifth chance, but the grace is still there. The mercy is still there.
We have to pray for the whole system. We have to pray for the congressman. Every level needs prayer. I know some of my friends pray regularly, women coming together, but we don't talk about this. We're praying about a lot of things, but we're not specifically praying for the government in this very intentional way. And I feel like I need to do that more now.
We need each other. We are people. We are people of God. And we are of every race, every creed, every color. And so one of the things that's really impactful on this trip is that we see the church, black, white, Hispanic, male, female, tall, short, good looking, all working together, producing an effect, which is to mirror Jesus Christ to people who need him.
Being younger and taking history classes, you kind of, nothing comes alive until you're here and you're walking through the Capitol and you're seeing just documents and you know, statues. Just, it's so cool to see our history come alive when you're here.
I flew out here from San Diego. There were some other planes that came out from LAX. And being here in Washington, D.C. with 170 other pastors from all over California, from different denominations, they're coming in. And this isn't about, you know, there's no hierarchy system with the denominations here. Everybody's here for one purpose, and that's unity.
To hear that the congressman, the people who are talking to us from the government, created a big impact. They have the heart and the message that we use as a preacher, as a pastor. They talking about the gospel. The gospel has to change the society. It's the same thing that we believe as a preacher.
And I think as a Christian, we're always a Christian no matter where we go. And so the Capitol has been a tremendous blessing for me. And to be able to pray in some of those rooms there and to sing in the dome of the Capitol. I mean, those are things that are life changing.
I've watched the worship team have an anointing of empowerment that's downloading on these pastors and ministering to their souls. Not only that, every speaker that we've heard is igniting this fire that's already been there. It's like coals just sitting there, embers, but now it's on fire, it's a flame.
I'm going back and I want to share this hope that I know, that I see with my own eyes, that is hope for this nation.
Amen. Let me show you the photo of the group of pastors. There's 157 of them from California. And, yeah, thank you. Yeah. It's on the steps of the United States Capitol. We actually got permission from the Capitol Police to be there to photograph the group. Actually, we prayed over them, too. There's a group of Capitol Police we prayed over as we were walking on in. But I want to, as Pastor shared, Church United disrupts pastors. People go, what do you do, Jim? I disrupt pastors. Because when they get disrupted, they're willing to come together and unite. And I think it's the most expeditious way to bring the churches together, specifically here in California, and transform California for Christ. And after they unite, this transformation that's taking place is I am seeing incredible impact across cities of California. So let me just share the goal real quick for 2018. We want to take 200 California pastors to Sacramento. You saw the first group of 24. We were on the floor of the assembly, the chief of staff, who is also I'm discipling, the assembly member, the assemblyman's chief of staff, said, "Jim, I can't even tell you when. I don't even know when we've had pastors on this floor. The last time that was." But we prayed. We walked over the chairs and the seats and prayed over them. We want to bring 200 pastors to Sacramento and then 400 pastors to Washington, D.C. Two groups of 200. Because I don't want it to be too much like a program. I want to keep it small and intimate so we can still connect and build relationships. The impact. So I told you about the issue in Yorba Linda with Da Vinci Biologics. I gathered 60 pastors, said, you know, what are we going to do? And I told them I didn't know. Went to D.C., met with them. Marsha Blackburn reached out to me. She's the chair of the Select Committee on Infant Lives. And Tony Rakakis, the DA of Orange County, filed a $1.3 million lawsuit against Da Vinci Biologics, and they've stopped doing the practice of selling aborted babies in their parts. Now, how or why I believe that happened is because the church came together, Catholics, evangelicals, and prayed and sought God to intervene. And within a year, that happened. There's story after story of the pastors that have gone to the Church United Awakening Tour that have engaged. This is just in May. I don't have time to go into all these stories. I'm going to tell you about another story in Fresno. So we had a black, brown, white pastor from, and they're all regional guys of influence, pastors, go to D.C. this past May. They came back and their city was going to start selling pot. It's legal in California, so we all know. But guess what? They went to city council, they rounded up some other pastors, about 20 of them, and they were outnumbered about 50 to 1. People chanting and booing. This is not even Sodom and Gomorrah, this is just pot. And they're yelling and booing and telling them time and being completely disrespectful to the pastors there, but they still took a stand. And even the chief of police was there and kind of condemned the people in the audience and said, "How dare you come after the men of the cloth?" And guess what the city did? They reversed the decision. They were going to allow pot to be sold in Fresno. The city council banned it because of the impact that the church had in that meeting. Yes, amen to that. And I'll share this real quickly. In Costa Mesa, you know, I get I'm in relationship with the board. I even talk about the Board of Education, all these elected officials. A believer reaches out to me and says, "Jim, Freedom from Religion wants to stop invocations at that meeting, and they want to remove And God We Trust from the council chamber or the boardroom. This is for the entire educational system in Orange County." I was able to get about 15 to 20 pastors. We went and shared. I prayed. Actually, I opened that meeting with an invocation and prayed in what? In whose name? In the name of Jesus. And then the pastors were not only powerful. The one Catholic gentleman that I'm in relationship with came and says, "I represent 1.3 million Orange County Catholics. Do not remove In God We Trust and keep invocations in these meetings." That's a lot of people. By the way, I'm friends with the bishop, Bishop Kevin Van, wonderful, godly man. He's over the entire Diocese of Orange. But what moved me the most, and it brought me to tears as I sat in the front row, were immigrants from Hungary, from Romania, that pled in their broken English, "Don't ever remove God from culture. Because when you do the most horrendous, horrific atrocities to human beings. Look what the Russians did to the Hungarians. Look what they did to the Romanians." And the story after story of these people who fled countries who try to completely remove God from culture. Church, we cannot sit back and allow evil to do that in this country, in our state, in our county, or in our cities. So how can you gauge? Okay, this is great. This is great news. Well, I'll tell you something real simply. It's me. That's it. This is like a Holy Spirit thing. It's so much bigger than me and Church United. I work in my backyard. I call it the shed because, I don't know, it's like 120 square feet, 10 by 12, little office. That's it. I don't have a lot of overhead. You know, I pay a part-time secretary to help me out. Desiree volunteers in the back. You'll meet here. You can meet her if you go to the back table. But it's really just God's moving and doing incredible stories you'll never hear in the media, let alone even in Christian media. I mean, it's just, I can barely keep up with how the Spirit of God is moving across the state. So I'm grateful to Refuge for your support. that you're going to support me. You started this month on a monthly basis as a missionary to California. But I also want to extend an invitation if you feel so moved to support the ministry individually. Or you might be like, Jim, I have the means. I want to sponsor 5, 10. I want 20 pastors to go. And you want to make that happen. Come talk to us. You can fill out a card in the back. Thankfully, this is a great problem to have. I'm totally out of magnets. So if you want a prayer magnet, you can go in the back. And if you fill out a card, just put your name, magnet. I'll mail you one. Well, if you do that, you'll also be on our mailing list and get, I only send an email out about once a month to the entire list if you want to do that, and or if you want to be on our prayer team. You know, I'm a big believer of not only having prayer, we bring prayer teams to all the events we do and go to, but at the same time, I love to have a prayer team, you know, reach out to them. There's a way, a real quick way you can be supportive of Church United and the work that we're doing. But I'll just quickly sum it up and say Church United's purpose is really here to serve pastors in California and to help them engage and to help us, the church, the body, live out. Not just do church, but be the church. And I'm grateful to be here this morning. So, Pastor Bill, thank you for having me. And Joy, it's great to see you again, too.
The more I get to know this family, the more I love them and the more thankful I am that they're answering the call of God to do what they're doing. And I told them that as missionaries here, as supportive missionaries from Refuge, I asked them if they would come and stand in the crossroads right where Jim is right now. We're going to gather around them and we're going to pray for them. Anybody that would like to make your way there. I thank you for supplying the picture of your elaborate, palatial home office. There's the Church United corporate office. He's not kidding.
I wasn't kidding. It's literally my backyard. It's actually, I think, nicer than our home. But after walking from like a dirt pathway to get in there, I'm like, hey, Dad, can you help me build the deck? Because I'd love to put it over awning, but that's a whole nother, that's another conversation I've been asked him. But he helped me build a deck, so I have at least, that's been added from that photo.
So that's where they actually work out of, and to me that looks like the beginning of a revolution. You know, when you're at the beginning of something that you're praying, God, use us just to touch people for you. It's not about the whistles and the bells, is it? It's just about getting the work done, and thank you guys for what you're doing. So let's gather around them if you would. And let's pray for them as we close our service and worship team comes on. You know, life is too short to waste one more day away from Christ. God loved you so much, he sent his son to suffer and die for your sins so you could be released from the burden of your sin and you could be free and have eternal life. So the prayer teams here would love to pray with you and introduce you to your Savior. But let's pray for Jim and Amanda and Alaya and Riker that God would continue to enable them. And if God tells you to support them personally for their own personal living expenses, let them know that, or supporting pastors to get there, let's do that and let's touch our state. So Father in heaven, I thank you for the call you put upon our brother Jim and his wife Amanda. I thank you, Father, for what they're doing from their corporate offices in that shed in their backyard. And thank you for the lives, multitude of lives that are being touched because of that obedience. We pray that you would resource them everything they need to live, everything they need to further your work that would be upon them. And we commit as a church, Lord, that we will stand with them in prayer, that we want to be a part of this, touching our city, touching our state, touching our county, Lord, touching our nation, and reaching as many people as we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, you've stationed us in a nation that it's becoming harder and harder to just stand up for Christ, and we will not back down, Father. But help us to stand forth and speak forth in love to people that are just as captive as we have been in our sin, Lord God. Set them free. And we just ask you, Father, to use us together as we work with Church United. Thank you for helping us to partner with them in the strong name of Jesus. And everybody said what? Amen. Amen. I think one of the things I appreciate most about Jim, Jim doesn't back down, but when he speaks out in love. It's so easy to have the right answers and the wrong attitude, isn't it? Anybody know what I mean? Right answers, wrong attitude. And every time you touch somebody who's struggling, whatever it is, you got to see yourself in them and remember where God found you. Remember the pit that he found you in. And God sent somebody to love you in that pit. And so let's be bold voices, but let's be people of great, great grace and great love. Amen. God bless you. Grace and peace upon you in the strong name of Jesus.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.